right now. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
How are you?
Pretty anxious to get this thing over.
You have your speech completely written and rehearsed?
I got some notes written down. I haven't really gone over it too much, but spent a couple hours this morning kind of taking a look at it, so I'm don't flub it up too much.
You going to call out a lot of people that you hate?
No, you'll probably figure that out. I just won't say their name.
Oh, it's going to be delicious.
You going to have a box of Kleenex standing by just in case a tear flows?
Oh, yeah. They will. Oh, yeah. It's something's happened to me the last, 8 years of that. I don't know. Kind of get a little choked over things now. Every time I watch that damn radio movie, crying during that, it's just weird things happening.
Yeah, it's weird. You get older. Now that you're in your 40s, you'll start finding those moments happening a lot more now. All right, so this is going to be a big transition for you, though. We've talked to you before about how your life has been hockey from such a young age, and it's just it's taken up such a big part of your life. When you move on, I'm sure you've talked to other players about this and what that first year is going to be like without the game.
I don't know. I think I talked to a lot of them in Tahoe at that celebrity deal, and a lot of guys that were great athletes in their time, and none of them complained about their retirement, that's for sure. None of them had a bad thing to say about it. They all enjoyed it greatly. They kind of looked forward to it. It's obviously tough letting go to something that's made you so happy in your time of your life and your job, and meant a lot to you as a person for so long. So your routine is going to change and things like that, but not one of them has said that I'm not going to like being retired and just kind of, somewhat for a while being on your own schedule and relaxing and taking it easy.
I know you had a frustrating last year at many times in Detroit, and hindsight is 2020. Do you regret not calling it quits last year?
No, not at all. I think as soon as Kenny Holland from the Wings called me and Mike Babcock, I knew I had to do that deal. I knew I had to go up there for at least 1 year, really take in that experience of playing back at home, playing in front of the fans and family, and being a Wing for a year. I think that was just something I contemplated, but I think in the end I knew I had to do it. If I didn't, I'd probably be at this moment now just kicking myself for not taking that chance. So I'm glad I did it.
It's the great Mike Madonna with us here on the Dunham and Miller Show, announcing his retirement this afternoon at a 1 o'clock press conference. We were talking about you yesterday and your retirement, and just about selling the game of hockey here in Dallas, how you were a big part of that and a very important part of that for this organization. Did you ever feel, I don't know, any sort of pressure to, hey, I'm really kind of the face of this organization, and I've really got to help sell this game, or did that just kind of come naturally to you?
It's hard to say. I think they approached me, I think, prior to that first training camp here in Dallas in 93 or 94, and they just flat out told me, hey, we're going to, wear you out with this marketing and, publicizing this game down here. We need you to just help be bored and try to make this the best possible situation. So, I mean, I just felt at that time that if people would go to the game, they would see it in person, how exciting and fast-paced and the action is nonstop. I think that was kind of our big point, was just to get fans to a reunion, to personally experience it. I think the marketing part just kind of came from the product on the ice, and everything new. People were like, hey, let's go check this out. So people were just kind of unfamiliar with it. Obviously the rule things were a bit of a hang up for a while, everybody getting the knowledge down what was actually happening on the ice and trying to teach everybody basically hockey 101. But I think that was part of the real challenge of it, but I think that was the most rewarding thing, is that we turned an area that's obviously cowboy country into a bit of a hockey area.
Yeah, is it satisfying now to look around and you see all these Dallas Stars centers and you see all these high school hockey leagues and hockey teams? Do you kind of look at that and say, okay, I played a big role in that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, tons of kids. I mean, obviously the minor hockey area situation has grown, and now we've had, you know, a handful of kids coming from Dallas that have been drafted. They're up playing in college hockey and the junior ranks up in Canada, so it's pretty neat. I mean, it's neat seeing Dallas kids on the map, and I think with those star centers, there's, you know, the access to practicing and the ice were improved and grew in numbers, and tons of minor hockey league teams down here all over Texas. So I mean, it's something we never thought could turn out to be the way it is.
Back in 93, when you first found out that you were going to Dallas, that the franchise was relocating, what was your first thought?
Where the hell is it? And, you know, what the hell are we doing playing in hockey in Texas? You know, no one's going to get it. And it was like we felt the players, none of us wanted to leave. You know, it'd be like taking football out of Dallas. Hockey out of Minnesota had the same impact to the fans and the people up there. They were just devastated. I mean, they still are. And every time that we still go back there to play, I mean, half that building is North Stars jerseys and people that were still season ticket holders back when we were at the Met Center and in Bloomington. So it was, I mean, it was a big blow to that town. And but you know, yeah, I was like, no one knew where we were going or what we were going to do, and practically none of us on that team been even close to Texas.
Do you want to stay in the game with the Stars organization or another one as an ambassador of fun or front office or something?
I'm hoping so. I hope that however this thing turns out and gets finalized here in the next couple months, that if they call, I'll be in their office in 5 minutes just to see what I could do or help add to this team and help change it around and try to get that persona back here in town and help out in the community, get some fans back, get some season tickets, and try to get this thing back to where it was in the late 90s and 2000s, where it was one of the best places to play in the league. Everybody that I played against at that time wanted to come to Dallas and be a part of our team, and anybody who came to play us, they couldn't wait to come to town. So it was just one of those stops along the way that, you know, if you're here, you know, you're pretty fortunate to have the ownership and the access to a lot of things that we had, but everybody else wanted to play here.
This is the great Mike Modano with us here on Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket. He'll officially announce his retirement, 1 o'clock press conference this afternoon. All right, your best memory or memories here. Obviously, skating the Cup in 99's got to top the charts, but is there something away from that season in one of the other seasons that really stands out?
I would say the probably the record numbers that I was chasing. I think the Neil Broughton record was kind of a big one at the time that happened at Dallas and at Reunion at the time. And then, you know, obviously being here, scoring 500 goals, and the 1300 point was here. You know, it certainly would have been great to have the goals record and points record, but those milestones were just something real, real fun and unique, and just kind of things that as I got closer, I kind of enjoyed showing up at the ring, chasing those numbers down to try to, you know, surpass them and make them tougher. But those numbers are certainly meant a lot. I think the first game in Dallas, going out to Reunion, seeing that first game against Detroit at home was certainly pretty monumental. And you know, other than that, I mean, it's just that last game probably in Dallas, pretty emotional night for a lot of us that knew that our playing days were over here.
Where does the Charity Challenge on Ice rank as far as top memories for you?
Boy, those first couple out at the Valley Ranch were pretty funny.
Those were great, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. The first one at, I think he had one at Reunion.
Yeah.
My place was packed. I mean, it was funny, but I would sit in the car and listen to it. That was pretty much the whole fun, is listening to the announcing on the radio. That was pretty hysterical.
It was wonderful, wasn't it?
Was the low point of your Stars career when they put you on a stretcher one time, and as they're taking you off the ice, they dropped you?
That's probably one of them. If I remembered it clearly, that would be one of them. So our trainer will never live that down the rest of his life. So.
Yeah, what a terrible prank that was.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Well, hey, we appreciate you coming on with us this morning. The morning you announced your retirement. A lot of people are going to miss you, and missed you last year not being in the Stars uniform. We appreciate the time this morning. Appreciate everything you've done for the sport here in Dallas.
Well, thanks. I hope I'm back in some capacity, so you'll see me probably even more here down the road. So, but I appreciate all you guys done and your support and along the years. It's been great.
Stay hard, Mike Modano.
All right, we'll see you, Mike.
See you, Gordo.
See ya.
That's the great Mike Modano. You listen to his retirement press conference today at 1 o'clock here on The Ticket, your official home of the Dallas Stars and the charity softball game. Up next, Gordo's Corner.
Another installment of Ask the Musers next.